You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
News and editorial director Anika speaks to him about Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern heading off to Asia and the country's recent move to move down to the orange light traffic light system. Here's the interview.
So to start off with, I would like to talk about the Prime Minister's decision to go to Singapore and Japan as her first international trade mission over the last 2 years.
So I think it's time for us to be reactivating our trading partners and export markets. COVID's had a significant consequence on us as well, particularly in our education and tourism markets. And I see some of the headlines have said that a core part of the mission is to show that we're open to business, open for business. So I imagine those are important parts of the mission. Japan and Singapore, our fourth and fifth biggest trading partners. As I mentioned, education will be high, our international students, tourism, supply chain. For example, we get refined crude now we don't have Marsden, from Singapore. So that supply chain, you know, if you look at the number of containers that are waiting to arrive in New Zealand, that's an important issue, and Singapore is important to us in that respect. And also Pacific security. They sit in the same region as us, so Pacific security will be important. And then I think there's some thinking about how collaboratively it might be useful to have the US back into the TPP. So a number of things on the table, but my understanding, the tagline is, we're open for business.
I'd just like to ask you about what impact you think the lack of international trade missions over the last 2 years has had on the country's international relationships.
Well, a lot of the time you can only do so much by Zoom, but at the end of the day, you need to shake a warm hand and look into people's eyes to develop that relationship. Trade is substantively all about relationships, and our Pacific security is all about relationships as well, and that's key to being in person. So it has had an impact. It likely has for other countries as well. So we sit in that same group as Australia, of course, and others who have had compromised international travel. It undoubtedly has an impact. What's the quantifiable number? That's hard to determine. But the speed with which we're wanting to get back face-to-face to people is a good indication of what we think that impact might have been.
And many would question perhaps the necessity of trips like this at the moment. COVID seems to have just changed the face of international relationships, and some would argue that these trips might not still serve their traditional purpose, having got so used to maintaining connections online over Zoom.
Oh, I think these trips will always be required, regardless of the online environment. It's what's been known historically. It's what's still the key mechanism for foreign relations at the moment, to be in person. You've seen the Naira offshore as well. And particularly for us, as a relatively remote trading nation, if others feel that Zoom and online technology is their mechanism to build relationships, then we show we'll go a step further by actually bothering to travel all that way and being there in person. So I think it still has a key future, the in-person foreign affairs, foreign trade meeting.
Now, we did touch on this before, but a large part of the discussion there will be centred around trade and encouraging tourism here. But the Prime Minister has also expressed a specific desire to raise security concerns around China's influence in the Pacific. How effective do you think a New Zealand partnership against this issue with either Singapore or Japan would be?
I think we have a privileged role as part of Five Eyes. And as part of that, we have the privileges of being kept up to date with security, but also the responsibilities to play our part. So I think we have a key role to play in the security of the Pacific region. And we have a history of doing that. We have a history of being a fair and safe broker in international terms, of course, culminating in our position on the Security Council. So how we're able to collaborate with Singapore and Japan and look at what those particular security relationships outside of Five Eyes, obviously, how those security relationships might be strong, not just military security, but cyber security as well. I think it's important discussions to have.
Now, moving on to the country's move down to the orange traffic light setting last week, what was your thoughts around the timing of this?
So we're not privy to the up-to-date modelling and data to know what the ministry and what the Prime Minister and ministers knew when they made that cabinet decision. But overall, we generally say that, and we have been saying for a while, that the traffic light system may no longer be fit for purpose. Certainly that's what our response spokesperson is of a view. And we look at that because it came in response to Delta and was primarily around vaccine passports. That was how we moved from alert levels to traffic light system. They have less relevance here. Omicron is quite different, and vaccine passports have been stood down. So it's unclear to us and our spokesperson why the traffic light system is even here, and maybe it's time to be moving to something simpler, which might look at mask wearing and maybe some isolation rules.
Yes, because I was going to ask you how you felt about mask mandates as a method to slow the continued spread of COVID.
I think the expert advice is that there is still a place for mask mandates, and the question would have to be, as it always is, where is that best place? Outdoors, it would seem to have less place, but indoors, what does that look like for schools? I mean, there's been that question, that controversy last week, that you can dance in a nightclub, but in a retail store, you still have to be masked. So there's been some confusion, and I must admit the science needs to explain that. That's not clear to us why you can dance in a nightclub. And as you recall, it was actually the example given was more than just dance in a nightclub. There was some degree of personal closeness in the example that was given. So we're not sure of what that science is either, which just talks to how these rules need to be tightened up so that everyone understands and that they're explained.
I also was going to ask you about whether you believe there needs to be a bit more clarity around when you need to wear a mask and not, because there does seem to be quite a bit of general public confusion.
Yes, I would agree. There is confusion, and the Minister, Minister Hipkins, represented that himself when he actually got the mask settings wrong for Orange at the stand-up, if you recall. And then apologised later and recorrected them. So if the ministers are finding it challenging to get them correct, I'm darn sure the rest of us are as well.
Do you think that the orange light setting is going to present ample opportunities for businesses, especially retail and hospitality businesses, to begin to recover from their COVID-related losses?
I think any restrictions are a handbrake on business. And we've been looking for, everyone's been looking for that balance between health safety and allowing business and somewhat normal life to continue. So while there are any restrictions, there's likely to be an impact on some part of the community, be it events, be it businesses, be it congregations, there'll be some impact. So as soon as the science says that we're able to safely relax some of those restrictions, and that's sort of what we'd like to know, what is the caveats, what are the rules, for when they can be relaxed even further, then I think we'll be looking closer towards what we all consider a normal life.
Now, finally, I just want to talk about mask mandates in schools. They have been scrapped, as according to Minister Hipkins, there was feedback from school communities that found that it was very hard to enforce it in that environment. How would you recommend keeping our tamariki safe when they are in such a highly contagious space?
So again, the analysts and the modellers will have the pure science on this, but the challenge here is the number of children who are still unvaccinated. That's still quite a large pool, and you know, obviously the social stigma of wearing masks, which is reduced from when we first considered this prospect of children wearing masks 2 years ago when COVID first struck us. I think what needs to happen here, the experts I know are very concerned at a relaxation of mask wearing in schools. They think it's still one of the reservoirs that could give us, quote unquote, a third wave, like they would contend has happened in Australia. So I think what needs to be happened here, we've always said we follow the science, so we truly need to do that. Let's see the science, and if the science is what the experts are telling us, that the mandate should be maintained in schools, then there's something we really need to look at.
That was Anika speaking to Dr. Shane Retty from the National Party about the Prime Minister's trip to Asia and the country's move to orange.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.